God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For those who are visiting or those who are new here, we just want you to know that this is really, we claim to be just a bunch of imperfect people trying to follow after a perfect God. And boy, we really do not, we don't value a facade that one would try to project to be something that they're not, but we really value honesty and realness. I don't know if realness is a word or not. We'll make it one for today. A genuine nature of spirit that we're just open with one another. And not that we can, a lot of times we're not open because we feel like somebody might look at us different, but we just realize everybody's looking at everybody weird anyways, right? Because they're not like you, so you think it's weird. So we just want to really live life together. 2 Corinthians, we've been in for the last few weeks. It's a kind of an impromptu series that I wasn't planning for. I was really excited about a marriage and family series that I believe God had kind of preordained, but as we got closer here to September, I really felt like He was speaking to me by His Spirit to change it up, to rather than look at that, look at some realities of life. Some real things of life that we may go through and we encounter, but not to lose hope. So we've been in the last few weeks looking at a series entitled Hope Rising. How to deal with the circumstances of life that may come, the storms of life that may come, and how to trust God and how to believe in God's supernatural provision, power, and promise through it all. And we've looked at three of these four realities of life that Paul addresses here in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. And the first, we looked at how we may feel pressed, that life has a way of putting the walls sometimes seem like they're closing in, like on every side feeling the pressure of life. But then we looked at the promise of God, that although we may be pressed on every side, we are not crushed. In fact, pressure can bring out and can fortify and can strengthen that which is compressed. So we're not crushed. The second reality we looked at that we face, that we may face times of being perplexed or uncertain of what to do, but we are not in despair. We talked about this, how when it seems like in life, when you can't see the hand of God at work, that's when we must trust the heart of God. That we would not just clearly walk by sight, but we would live and walk by faith. Then last week we looked at the reality, especially for believers, that we will be persecuted. Yet the goodness, the good news, the hope that should arise is that although we may face persecution, we will not be abandoned. The truth is that God is faithful. The good news about God is that He's almost predictable. I mean, I'm not talking about a predictability of numerology and all these people saying when Christ is coming back. I mean, that is... Oh, I missed it. We're all still here, so I guess we all missed it. It's a predictability of God that He is unchanging. That He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and you can count on Him. Anybody know somebody you can just count on? God is even more than that. Because He is never failing. It says His love never fails. And the good news today is that although we may face persecution, we will never be abandoned. And this morning I'm excited to look at kind of the fourth reality of life. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I hope you're there. Whether it's in your Bible or on your phone or tablet, whatever you're using this morning. We're going to begin in verse 5. And I really like God's Word, so I read a lot. It says this in verse 5, "For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This is key. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. We pray that in these moments that we have together, that you would speak to our hearts. That your spirit would, that has already been speaking, would continue to illuminate, would continue to speak to us. God, we need you. We need to hear from you. God, because we desire to be a people that you've called us to be. So help us today to hear your word, to see your word, and to hear your voice. And God, we thank you for your promise to never leave us, to never forsake us, to be with us, that we are not abandoned today, that we are not destroyed today, but you are faithful. So we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have spoke to the fact before that I am much more a lover than a fighter. That might be surprising to some of you who see this physique before you. Much more a lover than a fighter, but I should be honest and tell you that I'm not scared to fight if need be. It's the Italian in me, right? Sometimes we don't know when not to say something. I thought maybe Pam would give a bigger amen than that. Yeah. So I'm not afraid to fight when I must. But I know this about fighting, and this is why I don't fight a lot, because I know this. No matter how strong or tough you are, eventually you'll be knocked down. Greatest fighter maybe of all time, Muhammad Ali, at the end of his career, was absolutely destroyed in the ring. To the fact that most spectators and commentators said it was an absolute mockery of what he used to be. Because he lost not only a step, but maybe quite a few. And the beating, the pounding that he had taken throughout his life finally caught up to him. So I know this. I don't fight a lot because I know eventually it just takes one punch that you don't see coming. I say I don't fight a lot. I really don't fight. Our pastor goes out and fights. No, I don't fight. Can't tell you I've been in a fight. But I know there's a fighting that eventually you'll be knocked down. And they always say this about fighters. It's not really how strong or tough you are to knock somebody down, but how strong or tough you are to get back up when you get knocked down. And this morning, I really want to talk about this reality of life, that in life we will all face knockdowns. Every single one of us. Some of you, as I said, that you're running through it, right? It's like the reel of life. Like, yep, that, this, that. You know what it's like for life to just come along and knock you down. Maybe it's through tragedy. Something unexpected. A loss of a loved one. Something tragic that happens. Maybe it's through sickness, hurt, broken relationships. Or maybe unmet expectations. Maybe it's through vocation, your job. You had thought maybe you'd be somewhere where you're somewhere else than you are. Life can knock you flat on your back. Life not only knocks the wind out of you sometimes, it lays you out sometimes. And can I tell you that for those moments, and not to try to retract or take away from the reality of the pain and the hurt, but can I tell you today that there's hope even in those moments? For Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians verse 9 that even though we may be struck down, we're not destroyed. That's good news today. That's great news today. Because the truth is, I think there may be some here who are knocked down. Life has come and just really knocked you down. Right now you feel it. You not only have felt it, but you're experiencing the pain of being flat on your back and feeling like, God, I'm in trouble. The good news about being flat on your back is your perspective is correct. You're looking up. The good news about being knocked flat on your back is your posture is right. I can't do anything right now. God, I need you to do. We are people of action who like to take everything and don't look at anybody when I say this, but we're controllers. We like to control and dictate situations and things. We like to dictate the outcomes. But the truth is, in life, it's unpredictable. The outcome is not always what we hoped it would look like. But there's hope, there's goodness in whatever outcome we may face, that God is faithful. And the truth is this, that just as Paul declares here in this passage, that what is seen is temporary. The Bible declares it and talks about it as a vapor, a mist. That it's here and then it's gone. And the good news today is, although we may be struck down, we are not destroyed. This is the reality of life that I really want to talk through this morning. Paul, again, as we talked about last week, is maybe one of the best people to talk about this issue, being knocked down, yet not destroyed. He was maybe the best to talk about persecuted but not abandoned, being on both sides of that coin. One who persecuted, and then one who was persecuted someone else, and one who was persecuted against for his faith. And here again, Paul is probably top five in all history to be one who would talk about what it means to be struck down but not destroyed. When I talk about the reality of being struck down in life, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Have you experienced some knockdowns in life? Here's the greatest news, that it's not over. Wait, that came out wrong. Well, it may be not over on both sides, but let me elaborate. It's not over. The truth is this, in the sport of boxing or others, boxing specifically, when someone is knocked down, they're still, not even as they hit the mat, are they technically out. Now, if they're knocked unconscious, then yeah, they're done. But they're usually given a count. Now, way, way back when it began, they didn't have 10 seconds to get up. You know how many seconds they gave people to get up? 3. 3 seconds. Now, I'm talking about boxing, not wrestling. You know, some of you, I'm sorry. No, I'm not, they had some time to recover. And can I tell you this morning, that we have time to put our faith in God and recover? That there is a safe place, there is a hiding place for our soul, there is a hiding place for our being, and a refuge for our heart that allows us to recover, and that enables us, empowers us. We looked at this passage in the series already, but in 2 Corinthians further along in chapter 11, Paul says this, gives reference to kind of what he's experienced in life. And I don't know what your knockdowns have been in life, but can I say, I bet they're probably not to the extent of Paul. Paul says this, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. Anybody been in prison? Well, for the cause of Christ. Maybe I should define that out. For the cause of Christ. I've been flogged more severely. Anybody been flogged severely for loving Jesus too much? I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times beaten with rods. Anybody know that? Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times shipwrecked. I know some of you like to make fun, but I've never been shipwrecked. I've been close probably, but I've never been shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day in an open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from, I'm from Flint, so I know what that's like, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure and concern for all the churches. Paul's somebody who understands what it means to have life come and just knock you down. Sometimes we like to blame the captain for the shipwreck, but sometimes it's not his fault. It's too many people on the boat. Some understand that more than others. Paul had a complete knowledge of what it meant to and for life to just come along and just lay him out, knock him down. Following after God's plan, trying to pursue and do what God had called him to do. I think oftentimes we sell a bag of goods that aren't good. When we tell people, come to Jesus and everything will just be better. The truth is, that is true. Eternally better. But it doesn't always mean it'll be temporally better. In fact, Jesus says to us that he was persecuted, that he faced all these challenges. So why would we think we are not going to as we follow after him? We will go through challenges, struggles of life. Life will come our way. There is a tribe who does not want you to follow after God. There is a dominion. There is a spiritual force that does not want you to follow after God. And he will work against you. They will work against you. I think a lot of times we think Satan is attacking us, but I mean, I don't know if I'm that important. Like, I mean, he's only one. I mean, but he does have help. And there, you know, there are spiritual forces at work against us. But the things of life, a lot of times we find ourselves in situations of life because of choices we've made. And then it's God's fault. Oh, just me. Okay, just me. We make choices, we make decisions without conferring, without really counseling, without seeking God, and then we find ourselves in a bad spot, and it's like, God, why'd you do this to me? Yeah. But then I think on the flip side, there are people who really do follow God with everything they have. I think about this apologist who just passed away here. Nabil, I believe his last name is Qureshi or something like that, and around my age, younger guy, and with a young daughter, and he just passed away from cancer. Maybe one of the most powerful speakers I've ever heard speak and defend the gospel as it relates to the Muslim faith. Somebody who used to be and follow, it would devoutly follow Islam. And through his seeking and searching after God, he came to really experience and know God, not in what he had been taught, but for who he really was. And he just passed away. Why did that happen? I don't think he made a bad decision. I think he made the best decision he's ever made. So sometimes circumstances, sometimes life just happens. The good news for him and his family is now we know where his eternity is. We try so hard to make this temporal place so comfortable, don't we? We try so hard, we put so much effort into our comfort here that I often think if we would spend a fraction of that time working towards our comfort and what eternity will be like, boy, we would change the world. We would change the world. How did 12 imperfect men spread a gospel? Well, it wasn't just 12. They began to witness. They began to reach. They began to take people in. They began to walk with people. They began to not be ashamed. And they really lived the Galatians 2:20 life that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That it's not about my temporary comfort. It's about my eternal promise. And for us, I wonder, when life comes and knocks us down, what do we do? What's our response to life's hardships and knockdowns? Look at your neighbor and say, what do you do? Whoa, thank you for the three of you who did that. Look at your neighbor and ask them, what do you do? Now, don't respond. Just say, what do you do? What do you do? This morning, I want to look at how we overcome the knockdowns of life. How do we overcome the knockdowns of life? The first key is this. In overcoming life's knockdowns. Now, please hear this. I didn't say how do we avoid life's knockdowns. Because in truth, some of these knockdowns of life are unavoidable. But we can overcome. We can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, make it through. And we can prevail. So how do we do that against the knockdowns of life? The first is this. The first key is this. How we overcome the knockdowns of life is, number one, I believe we determine or decide. Put determined, be determined, but also it's decision. Paul says this in regards to life's circumstances in verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. Boy, I don't know about you. It doesn't always feel that way. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's very difficult for me to hear these words of Paul and think, yep, I know what you mean. Because I know what it's like to be down. I know what it's like to be hurt. I know what it's like for life just to come along and be like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. I know what that's like. Yet Paul says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. Another thing that I'm not initially thinking when life comes and knocks me down, it's usually not thanksgiving. Yet Paul says, all this is for your benefit, so that the people who are receiving this grace may see the thanksgiving that would overflow to the glory of God. See, because people know when you're giving thanks because of something you've done. Then they know, and then they're confused or conflicted by why you would give thanks in a troublesome or bad situation. See, anyone can give thanks when things are good. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that. But what about when you don't have that cupcake? See how I brought that together? What about when life isn't that way? Do we still give thanks? Or is it then why we look at somebody else and think, why has he always got a cupcake and I never get one? We do that. Why does it seem like God's blessing them? He don't ever want to bless me. Well, he doesn't. The first key, I think, for us to overcome the knockdowns of life is we have to be determined. We have to decide what our response is going to be to the knockdown. I believe this. If we're going to overcome, we have to first decide that we're not going to give in or give up, but we're going to get up when it comes to the knockdowns of life. That we're not going to give in and we're not going to... Boy, we live in such a frail state of life that when our internet goes down, the world has ended. Do you know what I mean? I can't believe this. You know, I mean, it sends our world into a tailspin. Oh, just me. Okay. All right. I know here even at the office, I'll be working on something, I'll be like, the internet's down, what happened? I don't say it like that, but it's like within me, right? I don't come out and yell at anybody. Right, Doris? It's only happened a couple times. But, no. Right? Such small things can get us to switch up so quickly. So we lose this. We've lost the focus of what our response should be. Growing up playing sports, I always knew skill mattered. But even more than skill, you know what matters? Attitude. I've seen a lot of people with a lot more skill than me miss a shot, do something bad, and quit. Throw a fit and give up. We've beaten teams that were way more skilled than us. We've endured things and we overcame things even when our skill level didn't meet the expectation. But it was because our attitude. You know what? In fact, most of us in life, our attitude often determines our direction. Some of you are already defeated before you even step into life's battles. Well, this always happens to me. Oh, that's an Italian saying. We coined that. We say that all the time. Well, I mean, it just figures. This is my luck. This is what happens to me. We're defeated even as we begin to step into it. Paul says it's so important that our attitude, we would determine, we would decide that we would not give in, we would not give up when we are knocked down, but we would get up. That we wouldn't stay there, that we wouldn't lay there. That we wouldn't cry, that we wouldn't whine. Now we can bring our complaints and our stuff to the Lord, but it's not about that. It's really about saying, God, man, life just got me, but I'm getting back up. I'm not going to be defined by this. Yes, this is a part of my story. It's a part of my journey. But boy, I know I've got, there are greater things. But that's our choice. That's what we either determine or decide to do or not do. Some of us at the first sign of struggle or opposition, we're ready to quit. Well, I guess this isn't God's plan. Because boy, if it was, it wouldn't be this hard. My dad has given me a lot of things to chew on and to learn from and over the years. And he had said to me once when talking through an issue or a situation, he said, Tom, if it's really easy, it may not have been God's plan for you. It may have been your choice. Because oftentimes we will choose the road of least resistance, don't we? You know, even when we're talking through how to encounter how to overcome the knockdowns of life, some are like, well, I just want to avoid it. As if we can completely avoid things happening to us. Ask how that worked out for Job. He was walking pretty good, upright, righteous. How did that work out? Not too great for him. The end was better than the middle. But the middle was tough. It's not about your perfection in life. Life's knockdowns comes for us all. And life has a way of beating against us all. So how do we overcome? We first have to decide that our attitude is going to be fixed, that we are not going to stay down when we get knocked down. We're not going to give in when we get knocked down. Rather, we're going to get up and continue to fix our eyes on what is unseen rather than what is seen. What if you give up when things get hard? I think about even your story about the teenager. Can't afford it. Oh boy. Can't afford it. Well, I guess you can't go then. Right? Because that's hardship, right? We'll just quit. Right? Well, I don't walk very well. Oh, yeah, this is probably not the event for you to be at. Boy, it was the exact point of time for her to be at, wasn't it? And we need to be a people who stop allowing excuses to get in the way and say, no, what our God makes a way. And so we will take care of the finances. I'll bring a wheelchair from work. Now, we'll figure it out. Why? Because we want to be and we want to position ourselves and people around us in the presence of God. Because in His presence, miracles can happen. Miracles will happen. For us, have we decided, have we determined in our heart what the struggle is going to look like, what it's going to look like? I'm just going to stop with this one. I'm not going to keep going for the sake of time. But I want to talk about real quickly. Terry, you could come up. That'll help me maybe. How does everybody laugh when I say that? But it sounds so much better. I mean, it just does. I want to talk about a situation where that we see in God's Word, where two people were faced with a choice of how to deal with life's knockdowns, and it's found in the book of Ruth. And it's two ladies. One's name is Ruth, and one's name is Naomi. And both of these ladies go through life's knockdown. An unforeseen and unwanted and undesired situation of life comes their way. Knocks them down. Same, similar struggle, similar knockdown. Very different response. One, as life comes her way, chooses to blame God and become bitter at God. In fact, so much so that Naomi actually changes her name to Mara. It means bitterness, because she was so bitter at what God had allowed to happen. And then we see Ruth in a completely different response. Also went through a knockdown of life, but responded to it differently. Determined in her heart that she was not going to blame, that she was not going to become bitter, rather she was just going to cling. Trust God. And in that moment of clinging and trusting, God did in her a miracle that saved an entire people. Because she went through a knockdown of life, and she determined that this wasn't going to be the end. That yes, this was a bump. This was not great. I don't believe she wanted it to happen, yet through it, she trusted God. She trusted God. And God did in her something that is remarkable. A remarkable salvation of a people. And I think a lot of it had to do with her attitude, not to blame and get bitter, but just to trust. Maybe today you're in a season, a state of life where you feel knocked down. Can I encourage you today to determine, to decide in your heart not to be bitter? To not to allow the bitterness, the doubt to overwhelm you, but rather choose today to trust in God. I don't believe that God brings us and does these evil things to us. But I believe that through situations, there's a refining that happens. That through pressure, things are fortified and strengthened. That through times of confusion and uncertainty, we place our hope where it belongs. That through persecution and struggle, we would understand that there is a God who's so close that He is with you, not abandoned you. And to the fact of when we feel, and when we feel struck down, when life has a way of just knocking us down, that's when we say, no, God, I'm going to determine in my heart, just like Paul says, it is for your benefit. God, I don't see the benefit. This doesn't make any sense to me. Where is this benefit? That's when we trust in God's word, what He declares to us in Romans, that He can work all things together for our good. That was the difference between Ruth and Naomi. One trusted that God could work things together for her good. And maybe she's not saying that right away. But as you take a step back and look at it, you say, no, she trusted that God could work all things together for her good, even in the state of life's knockdown. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe we'll call this part A, and we'll see you about next week. I really believe this, that we have all either gone through, are going through, or will go through knockdowns of life. Some know knockdowns more readily and more frequently than others. But here's the truth. The goodness of God is that although we may be struck down, although we were maybe knocked down, we are not destroyed. We are not destroyed. For our victory is not in our performance, perfection, or what we have done. Our victory is in the blood of Jesus. We have overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, the life that He gave and was poured out for us to bring salvation. There's goodness. And my prayer is that hope would arise within us. That maybe today you're going through a knockdown. Maybe you're feeling knocked down today by life. Today, could I challenge you? Could I encourage you? That you're not destroyed. That in fact, God desires to move supernaturally in and through your circumstance and situation to bring glory to Himself. That we would declare, that we would determine, that we would purpose in our hearts, that God, our attitude would not be one of bitterness, of moaning, but it would be one of thanksgiving. God, I'm not sure how I do that. I'm not sure how am I supposed to give thanks in this situation? Even though there may be hurt and hardship, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. I think about when we lose loved ones. The truth is we've had incredible moments and times with those loved ones. I think about when tragedy of life hits. Not necessarily a silver lining, but there is goodness even amidst tragedy. Sometimes tragedy brings us back to a place where we should be. Like I said, when we get knocked down, our perspective changes, and it's usually for the better. And our posture changes, and it's usually for the better. My prayer for us all this morning is that whatever we're facing in life, maybe you feel like you've been knocked down, God has not abandoned you, and you are not destroyed. Maybe there's been sin that you've been living in or has been a part of your life. Sin's hope is to bring destruction. Yet we believe this, that God in His love and His grace brings life, forgiveness, redemption, restoration, newness in Him. He is all that we need today, whatever you're facing.